I'm going to take a little different approach. We have sort of an unusual circumstance in Broward County. I have no disclosures, first of all. But Broward County has the highest rate of new HIV infections in the United States. We actually had a 17% increase in new cases in this past year, with marketable increases in Caucasian populations, okay, in the 22 to 29-year-old group. So we really face a challenge in HIV and in oral health care for HIV. Our HIV program basically for the Broward County is only basically handled through two venues. One is Nova South Eastern University, and one is the Broward County Department of Health. There are no private providers in the system. Okay, so we are the major Part A grantee for dental health care. We receive approximately $1.4 million a year from Part A. It's probably one of the largest amounts in the country, and it doesn't even hit the target. We have approximately 8,000 people eligible for oral health care under Ryan White, and we serve about 4,000 for a variety of reasons, lack of access, lack of knowledge, many other things that we've discussed. So when you look at Broward County, it's really very small. And when you see where the circle is, it's the epicenter of HIV in Broward County, which is the Oakland Park downtown Fort Lauderdale. So going outside of that area, we really needed a way to serve other population groups, and that's how we utilized the Part F program. This is our second five-year cycle. In the last cycle, our partnership was with an organization called Care Resource, which is an FQHC where we deliver oral health care. That was in downtown Fort Lauderdale, so we feel like we needed to go somewhere else. That program was very successful, and in fact, through funding and other resources, we were able to walk away after 5 years, and they had their own five-chair dental clinic, which they're now operating on their own. Okay, so the goal of our next program was to do the same thing. So basically, a little bit about how oral health care is provided in Broward County. We have the Part A program. There's a lot of restrictions. The poverty level, the legal status, HIV lab results. We have the ACA, Medicare, and Medicare. Florida is not a Medicaid extension state, so it's a mess. Okay, it's a total disaster. And this is where we sort of came with the Part F community partnerships to get to those people who are really struggling to get access to care through other programs. So basically our goals are, again, expanding access to care for people living with HIV and AIDS, overcoming barriers to care, and expanding dental providers and dental provider sites in underrepresented areas. So what we are, a total goal is basically in the next 5 years, with the partnerships we're currently forming, to walk away and them also have their own dental clinic for HIV patients in another emerging area. Okay, so there's a lot to do with program development, and this is really the difficult part of most of these programs. It took a lot. We had to work with local legislatures. I have some lobbying experience. I was the IDEA legislative fellow last year, so that's really helped. I had to work with local planning organizations, county councils. I'm also on the planning council to try to find an organization who would really partner with us. There was a lot of resistance in FQHCs, even though they were already seeing HIV patients, to expand their HIV care because, quote, they would be known as the HIV provider in Broward County. Okay, so we had to work very hard. What we did was we went into southern Broward County, where it's sort of a different population group. Again, Hispanic, we have a lot of Haitian immigrants, where a lot of women are infected with HIV. So we really wanted to target that population. So we picked an organization called Broward Community and Family Health Centers. They have five health centers throughout Broward County. And what we're basically doing is we're going to their centers, we're screening patients, and then referring them for care. Now, our care is provided actually at the College of Dental Medicine. Now, we have a very extensive community-based program. So each of our seniors spends half of the year out in the community. I would say 85% of that is doing HIV programs. So when you talked about problems with knowledge, our students have a pretty high knowledge of care. We have an extensive online program that I've developed that students have to do the didactic as well as the clinical. So in some of the programs like that you discussed, where maybe 10 students going out, all 137 of our students are probably going out to 3 or 4 different HIV sites throughout the year. And we're fighting some of the same issues with lack of knowledge, but they're working very hard. So some of the things we addressed in our program is our partnerships, okay, because, again, our partnership is really more about the patients and making the FQAC an organization which can provide care without us. We wanted to be able to walk away in 5 years, and they would be able to provide care, and we could go on to the next organization like we did with the last. So actually, we just, through the budget and management, there's a lot to manage for those who have done it. We've actually just purchased 2 dental units for them. Okay, and I'm working through other grant programs now to actually get funding for the infrastructure. We have the space now in their FQHC, but we now need funding to actually build the dental clinic. And we did the same thing with our other program. There's other federal grants out there. There's local community grants. So you really have to outreach to the community and see what else is out there. We've done a lot of training with our students with cultural competency, especially now in these new communities where we have Haitian. We've gotten a faculty member who speaks Creole so they can communicate with these patients. We've created training materials with Creole. So when the patients come in for their first screening visit in the FQHC, they spend about 1.5 hours with our provider. We go extensively over their medical history. We look at their mental health needs, if we can refer them to another source within the organization. Okay, and we do extensive oral health care education. And we give them a toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, education. A lot of these people, this is like the first toothbrush they maybe have had in 1 or 2. So that's the initial intake. We're fortunate that our Part A program, as well as the Part F, are totally comprehensive. So our cap on services on Part A is very high. It's $3,000. We have a very generous county. And so we do crowns, root canals, partial dentures. The only 2 procedures we're not doing basically are implants, okay, and fixed bridges. So we really are doing extensive dental care on the program. The university is very committed to serving our community because of the high need. So really it's not, our school has a community, it's not a matter of cost. If I spend more than we have, they don't really care. So it's really important to get your university or your organization on par with you and really committed to this, because that's really helped me a lot. Because I provide a lot of free services every year. If there's a need, we'll do it. We've had clients who basically have had oral cancer, and they've had mandibular resections, and they can't wear a denture. The school will commit, we'll put implants, we'll do the surgery, we'll give them dentures. So you really need to engage your system and realize the costs are very tight, especially in a county like ours, but you really have to work within the system. There's a lot of work plan, budgeting, there's a lot of paperwork. Now, we've looked at the other part of the program, which is the reimbursement program, and actually I wrote a white paper on that for IDEA, and, you know, with the 30%, you know, reimbursement rate, it's really a lot of work. You really have had to have your system together. Unfortunately, we don't. So we don't participate there, but the Part F program has been really good. We've built a good relation with HRSA. We have monthly meetings with our HRSA manager. We have monthly meetings with our FQHC. So we're really very engaged within the system. They're also, you know, providers of HIV medical care within the system. So they serve on the planning council with us. So we sort of have a really integrated system of care. And obviously, what I've told you, it's really needed. So some of the challenges we faced are building alliances, okay? There's still a lot of resistance, you know, dealing with HIV. So, you know, getting people on board, getting organizations on board, getting someone committed. Actually, we started our program about almost 9 months late because there was a lot of back and forth between lawyers and attorneys and organizations and resistance actually from other healthcare providers in the county. Some of the other providers who wanted to provide Ryan-wide care, who didn't get funding, created a really big ruckus in our planning council. So it's amazing what goes on politically in building alliances. Budgets are very difficult. Okay, it's not a lot of funding. We get about $250,000 a year. We probably have provided to date probably $300,000 worth of services. Okay, and so it's hard because you need to buy supplies. You know, we're trying to buy equipment. And again, the university has been very generous. A lot of record keeping and reporting. For those who deal with Ryan White programs, I mean, this report and that report, and it's just, it's a lot. And you can see why only 12 schools are participating in these programs. I think it's a lot of work, but for those universities or organizations that aren't doing this, the reward is incredible. And sort of Helene's story to having someone, you know, I have a young gentleman who's been waiting 5 years to try to get a denture made, okay? And he's getting married, okay? And so now, next week, he will get his denture after 5 years. So there's a lot of rewards. The accolades are incredible. And it builds knowledge and confidence in your community, which is also very important. I would strongly recommend for universities that don't do this to really get involved in the programs. There's a lot of struggles, as we can see. There's still a lot of lack of knowledge. Student knowledge, especially like you mentioned, is very difficult to overcome obstacles. I'm just to sort of throw a quick story out there because I like to tell stories. So we still have this thing going on in our county, and it's very alarming, but that people now think that because they're undetectable, that they don't have HIV. So now we're seeing this drastic increase in new HIV cases. So part of what we do in our program is we not only address the oral health care, but we basically look at three items. We look at engagement and care, we look at retention, and we look at viral load suppression. And we do a lot with the labs. I think a lot of schools fall short in general in teaching their students how to read a lab test. So we have online tutorials. Through the AETC, I created a quick, you know, dummy sheet for like six different things that people can look at. So the students have them posted at their chair side. They have posters of the meds posted at the chair side because a lot of patients don't know their meds. And actually recently I just started an interprofessional program with our pharmacy school. So now we have pharmacy school students and dental students working together. So if you have more interest in that and you're going to IDEA, I'll put in a little plug. I'm presenting on that. Okay, thank you very much.